part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm not doing part. Fanboy.com.
Thanks for coming on to the podcast. I appreciate it.
That's cool. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. So for anyone listening, this is Part-Time Fanboy, and I am Christian Horn, and I am on the line with my friend from England, Martin Eden, who is the creator of, well, two indie books that I really love, The Omen being sort of the first one, or should I call them The Zero Men? Because of your revelation at the end of the series, and Spandex, which is the first gay superhero team, which you were publishing through Titan Books, as I recall, correct?
Yeah, I self-published it originally, and then they published the first three issues in a hardback. Which was really nice of them, because it was quite brave, I suppose, you know?
Sure.
Quite brave to do that sort of thing. And, this was about four or five years ago, and obviously things have changed a lot. Things change so quickly, don't they?
Yeah.
And I think it was brave then to do it, so I am grateful.
Yeah. And I that's how I first, you know, discovered you, was through Spandex, and I think I was given like a review copy when I was reviewing for Ain't It Cool News, which was several years ago. And I remember really, really enjoying that. And you were like, hey, if you like that, I've been working on this other thing called The Omen. And would you like to read that? And I remember reading that and being like, this guy gets it, like gets the superhero stuff that I grew up on. You know what I mean? The Omen is sort of, first of all, how many years have you been doing The Omen now? Like this, well, the whole reason we're doing this podcast is because you wrapped up your run on The Omen, on your own self-published superhero book that you've been doing for how many years?
Well, okay. So the cover date of the first issue is 1998.
Wow. So it was pre-9/11. Holy cow.
Yeah, internet almost me anyway, you know, pre mobile phones.
I
must say I started the Omen series that you've got now.
Yeah.
I started that when I was about 23, 24 or something like that. But I had actually done it. I did an Omen series when I was at university. I painted it. It was pretty bad, and it's almost the same story, but much more condensed. I mean, it was pretty much six issues, which told the whole story of Omen Volume 1, which was 28 issues. So. It was interesting, you know. It's been going on for a very long time. And also, I must say, you know, I created superhero comics in my teens, and I think a lot of the characters have been with me since then, really, in many forms. Always the same kind of types of characters, like the telepath, and you know, Grace was always around in some shape or form. So yeah, they've been around for a very long time.
Yeah. And you just put out, so how did this work? Because according to the afterword in your final book, I should say that there's five, you've collected all the Omen comics into five separate sort of like paperback, like manga size, maybe a little bit larger than manga size books. And This is the collection from the very beginning up until you ended last year, correct?
Yeah, so I did. I had all the old issues, and I've always wanted. You know, remember the series Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
and remember the excitement when the last book came out, everyone was so excited and they couldn't wait for it.
Yeah.
And I thought, I really want something like that. And then when I was doing spandex, I thought, well, I've got it, you know, I could collect the Omen into different books. And then, you know, you've got four books there, and then, you know, you create the excitement for the fifth. And so, yeah, that's what I did. I collected it slowly, and it took me much longer than I thought it would. A lot of work.
Yeah.
It's not as easy. It's not just as simple as, here's all the paper. Take it to the photocopy shop, because that doesn't work anymore these days.
Yeah.
and even the fourth book, which was when I started to use Photoshop, even that took a long time, because I had to clean up the files and,
yeah,
and every single page. So it's a lot of work. And then I thought, okay, what I'm going to do here, I know what I need to do for the fifth book. It's going to be around 8 issues, and I'm going to release it individually on. I didn't want to do print anymore for the issues. It's a lot of work. I wanted to focus on the Omen. And it took me about a year to do the final issues.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I kind of, I wasn't actually sure I was going to go back to the Omen at all. I really didn't know if I was going to do it, because it's such a lot of work and I've got so many ideas. But it made a lot of sense. And I think a lot of times when I was doing conventions, selling spandex at conventions, so many people would come up to me and say, "Where's the Omen? Where's the Omen?" And I thought, oh, I've got to finish it. I've got to finish it. I had so many ideas as well. So, and I thought it was a good experiment to kind of, the Omen changes so much. The style changes. I mean, I was learning when I was doing the first issues, learning how to draw comics, really. And I think it improved slowly. And then, you know, learning to do Photoshop. And then, so I think it's interesting because, you know, anyone that read the spandex and liked spandex, maybe they haven't read The Omen, but I think it's interesting to read the book 5 and see where I am now, and like see what I'm drawing now, how I'm drawing now, and how I'm writing now. And I hope people investigate it and see how I've progressed. And I think it's an I think you do kind of need to have read the early books, really, but there's an element that book 5 could almost be read on its own, I think.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the one thing that, there's a lot of things that I want to talk about, but the first thing that we should say is that, you know, in my opinion, The Omen is very much your sort of homage to sort of like the Chris Claremont era or the early Chris Claremont era, when he wasn't repeating dialogue and wasn't, you know, sort of, you know, kind of phoning it in, which it seemed like he was a little bit towards the end of his career with Marvel. But that era that really kind of sparked my imagination and helped get me into comic books, you know, the era with John Byrne and John Romita Jr. and Paul Smith and stuff like that. This is what The Omen very much reminds me of. I'm not saying that you're sort of like knocking this off or whatever, because you're not, but it sort of reminds me very much of that sort of, you know, self-contained superhero stories with compelling and interesting characters, you know, that are sort of more about punching and hitting each other. You know, they all have their own individual personalities. They all have their own sort of way of thinking. And so that's sort of like what I fell in love with when I started reading these actual Omen issues. I was like, oh, like, I get where he's coming from. And I know that you have a lot of other influence as well, like Neil Gaiman and stuff like that. And there are some chapters in here that you very much experiment with, like panel work and like storytelling and stuff like that. But for me, it very much reminds me of those days of my youth when I was like, and obviously this isn't an all ages book either, but you know, it very much reminds me of like, what if the X-Men had been a little bit more sort of mature reading in the 80s? Does that make any sense?
Oh yeah, completely. It is Claremont, it is X-Men, it is John Byrne and John Romita Jr., but it's also Grant Morrison as an influence. Influences are a big part of The Omen. I don't know, maybe we'll talk about it later. That's one of the themes it's what happens right at the end with the Miss Scarlet issue. It's a melting pot. It's what I enjoy. It's a comic I'd want to read myself, I don't have many comics that I want to read anymore. Sadly, I want a comic to surprise me and shock me. A comic that gives you twists that you don't see coming and that make you want to read it all over again from the start. Something where the writer is many steps ahead of the reader. I loved X-Men. I loved Chris Claremont's work on it. They weren't the first comics I read, but they were the first comics that made me get into comics. Uncanny X-Men, wrote when Storm lost her powers, the Secret Wars, just all that. It was incredible. I wanted to make it more mature, make it almost like a soap opera. I love soap operas, and just have fun and make something dramatic and exciting. And you know, when I'm at the cinema, all I can think of is my comics, and I just imagine them on the big screen. I want to excite the audience. I want to shock them. And I really want to shock them. I love shocking people. You know, I think what I want to get out of my comics is I want to provoke kind of, I don't want, you know, you read a comic sometimes and you just sit there and there's no interest. Mm. You know, you're not excited. Nothing happens. And for me, I want to engage the reader. I want to make them cry, you know?
Yeah.
And one of my friends was—he just finished reading the Omen book 5 as well, and he was saying there's a lot of depth to each issue. It's easy for me because I know I mentioned earlier that I spent a year doing the last issues. It's not strictly true. It was maybe like 2 years, and the first few months of that was preparation and planning,
mm-hmm.
and relaxing a bit after finishing Spandex as well.
Yeah.
You know, not drawing every day, but every issue. I mean, so much thought goes into it, and you know, it's not as if I sit. I'm not sitting at a desk thinking. You know, it's like you know, if I'm commuting to work, I just get an idea and I write it down, or you know. So there's 8 issues of the final Omen, book 5. So I'm working on the first issue, and while I'm doing that, you know, getting ideas for issue 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, all the rest. And it's a really interesting process. And I think I'm lucky, you know, I'm lucky that I can just take my time with it. And, you know, because if I was Chris Claremont and doing it on a monthly basis, I might struggle.
Yeah. Well, it's also not like your singular day job as well. Like you're not sitting around, you know what I mean? You and I, we both have other employment, you know, things going on that help us make the things that we like to do in our spare time, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. I work full time. But yeah. Having said that, I get my best ideas in meetings.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
I have a lot of meetings in the week, but we have the regular update meetings that are quite long, and I only have half of that meeting to contribute. You know, the rest is done by other people.
Yeah.
So a lot of that meeting, I just sit there and I draw and I imagine.
Yeah.
And it's not just me. I mean, I've got a friend who he's an artist as well, but also, you know, he works full time. He's a brilliant artist. He draws dinosaurs. He paints dinosaurs.
Oh, wow.
And every meeting he draws a new dinosaur on his meeting, on his notebook. It's incredible.
Oh, that's great.
There's a guy called Steve White. He's left where I work now, but yeah, he's quite similar to me, I think. And you know, just can't stop drawing.
Yeah, I do the same thing in meetings. I'm always sitting and doodling, and I've been admonished for it sometimes, where I'm like, come on. You know? But it's really funny. the one thing that I don't think I've ever asked you, because I think you are the most frequent, I've had you most on this podcast more than any other creator. And I just love talking to you, and I really like your books, but I don't think I ever asked you, you know, having read the fifth book, like, how did you learn your comic craft, your storytelling? Because there's a lot of stuff, like I finished the fifth book last night and I was thinking to myself, man, he set up a lot of stuff through the years and it pays off. I mean, you know, I will admit to that, you know, going back to sort of like an X-Men reference, and I don't want to beat it over the head, you know, having gone through, you're talking about like 15 maybe plus years of comics, there was a little bit of like, who's this guy? When did that happen? I don't know who that is, you know, but at the same time, there was a lot of stuff where I was like, oh, wow, he set that up and it paid off. Like and even though there were characters, like, I'm not sure I remember that when that happened or whatever. I mean, I still like identified with them or knew what their deal was as I was reading it. You know what I'm saying? So how did you,
How did you
develop your craft? Was it just by doing it, or did you read books, or like, were you paying attention to the comics that you read and picking them apart? Like, how did you do? Because I think your storytelling is really, really well done.
Well, thank you. It's just reading so much, reading other good comics and learning from them. It's reading Grant Morrison. Grant Morrison with the twists and shocks and the characters. It's reading John Byrne with his ability, well, in the 80s and 90s, to tear characters apart and then rebuild them.
Yeah.
It's in David Lapham on Stray Bullets, creating a really compelling story. It's kind of aspiring to these people, like saying, I like that. I enjoy reading that. Let me try this now. It's everything. It's Adrian Tomine. It's him. Adrian Tomine. You couldn't get much further from The Omen, but for me, The Omen, it's not about superheroes. It's about the characters. It's about their weaknesses and their failures, you know, and how they get around it and how they try and be happy. And I think, just a quick note on what you were saying just now about you weren't sure which character was which. That last issue in book five, I think you need a degree, an Omen degree.
Yeah.
You really do. But I think for me, if you've got that far, for me, it was like almost like here you go. You know, just read it. If you don't understand it, don't worry. You will understand most of it. There's going to be some of it that you won't understand because maybe it's a bit obscure. But there you go. This is my last tribute. this is what happens to the characters. Enjoy it as much as you can.
Well, it was really interesting because particularly that last issue, I mean, you're right. You do sort of need a degree in, but I got what you were doing. It's really funny. You sort of did that thing where it's like, okay, we're kind of like going through a bit of the past of like what we've all been through since, what would you say, 1997, 1998?
Yeah.
And you're also cheating a bit because it's like sort of the last issue, but you're also giving us touches of like, maybe this is what I would have done, or like, this is where this character was going, or this is the idea that I had, but I'm just not going to get to it, like, because it's time for me to sort of wrap this up, right?
Yeah, it was... the last issue is almost like a celebration.
Yeah, yeah.
It shows the whole story from someone else's perspective, and you do see things that some of the things you kind of see behind the scenes. You see an alternative version of what happened. Some of it is an opportunity for me to just go, okay, here's a little story that I couldn't fit in. I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
I couldn't fit everything in, though. I was sad. You know, there were some bits that didn't fit, and I had to leave them out. And it made me sad, but at the end of the day, That last issue was really hard to do. It was, you have to plan it. I mean, I don't know how, it's got the 8 panel pages.
Yeah.
And that's difficult. I mean, you look, have you read Stray Bullets?
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's one of my favorite comics of all time.
Yeah. Every issue is that format, and that's a hard format to do. I think I can see how he does it. If he plans out every issue meticulously, then I really applaud him, because that's very difficult. I can imagine that he probably kind of just draws it. Do you know what I mean? I reckon he just starts and then goes, okay, oh shit, I've only got 2 pages left. Let me wrap this up. Maybe that's how he does it. That's a hard thing. That was a hard issue, because I never felt comfortable until I'd nailed it, because you know, if things change, or if you have to add in an extra panel, that throws everything off.
Yeah.
So it is really difficult. So, yeah.
Well, it's sort of also a very cinematic way of sort of storytelling, because it's like panel, 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 panel. Like, it's very much like almost like Watchmen, like where it's a grid and you don't sort of deviate from that grid, and everything has to be very specific, right, for the storytelling to flow.
Yeah, it was that issue was difficult. It made me very grumpy.
That's really funny. But you know what's great? I also have to say, when I finished the final issue, and you know, these are not characters that I've been with since 1998, and I'm curious, or 97 or late 90s. I'm curious, like, what your fans have thought, because, so let me understand this correctly. First of all, let me just say that I ended the book and I was like, wow, that was really good. Like, that was great. Like, I had a really good ride, because, you know, you've been sending me these books since you started collecting them. And I think I actually have some Omen issues that I may have ordered from you, like, way back when, because I was like, all right, I'm going to see what this is about. The thing that I'm curious to hear is, do you have any fans that have been collecting it since the beginning, or have been in touch with you since the beginning and have read the final issue? And if so, what are they thinking? Because for them, this is like I said, like close to 15 to 20 year ride, right? So what has the reaction been?
It's been really good. I have to say, I made a lot of friends from the Omen.
Yeah.
You know, it was a different kind of time when I started it. Well, obviously it was a different kind of time, because it was 20 years ago almost.
Yeah,
but it was before, you know, I was doing the Omen and I was receiving letters from people, and I've kept all of the letters, and I made a lot of friends. You know, I would write back to them, we'd have regular correspondence. I made one of my best friends from the Omen, because he was a fan of it, and he made his own comics too. We were really, really good friends. They really liked it. I had one friend, he was reading the Omen, the final book, and he was texting me while he was reading it. And it was a really cool experience, because he's always been supportive. He's always really been excited about every issue. So to get his live response was fantastic. I think the readers have really enjoyed it. And the readers have really hated me for killing off one of the characters.
Okay. They got mad at you?
Yeah, there was a. They weren't mad. They were just sad, because I think they really liked that character, and I've kind of consoled them and said, "Don't worry, she's happy."
Gotcha. And we won't say who that is for anyone who hasn't read books yet. But so in the timeline of the Omen, like as far as at what point did you take the spandex break? Is it between book 4 and book 5? Is it like 2.6 or something? Or
yeah, it was. I finished Omen. Put Omen on hiatus at issue 2.7, and
gotcha.
I think Yeah, I think I was tired. I think definitely issue 2.5, which is the asylum issue with all the different contributors. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to do the issue. I was trying to put the issues out as quickly as I could, maybe once every couple of months. And I was really tired. I think I'd overdone it. I'd wiped myself out, really. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, and also I think I'm glad I stopped it. I'm glad I stopped at that point, because I think it would have ended completely differently if I'd have carried on.
Yeah.
I don't think I was ready to finish it. I think I didn't have all the ideas yet. I mean, I knew definitely some of the major plot points, but I don't think I had it all. I think I needed to do something different. And it was interesting that spandex kind of fed into Omen as well. I think, you know, with the Omen turn up in one of the issues.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as if the Omen kind of completely went away. But I think I'm glad I finished when I did. It was a good point to, you know, put it on hiatus.
How long was the hiatus? I think in this afterward, you said it was 5 years.
Yeah, it was about 5 years.
Wow.
I mean, because I wanted to do something brand new. I wanted to put everything I'd learned into something new.
Yeah.
And to put a new issue one out. And for some strange reason, I thought I could do all of spandex in a year. and the first issue took a year. So
yeah,
it wasn't going to be a year. So yeah, it was 5 years in the end on spandex, which was great. It was a fantastic experience. I was constantly doing conventions, and that was a brilliant experience. You know, I'm quite a shy person. So, but you go to a convention and everyone's on the same wavelength. Everyone's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, selling their comics. So, and you make so many friends and you pick up so many new readers. It's a great experience.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's the convention circuit been like for you lately? Because I think at the end of book five, you're also saying like, oh, I may not, like conventions are becoming harder to attend. Or what's your sort of take on that? Because conventions, like you said, you made a lot of friends and, you know, obviously I go to conventions and stuff. I've actually tried to start going to less, because whenever I go to a convention, I'm just blowing cash. Like I am just blowing cash. It is like a crack whore in a crack house. Like I just cannot, like I'm an addict to comics, and there's definitely, if I go to a convention, like I will just blow through my cash. So I'm trying to do a little bit less of that, because I just want to read so much, you know, and then a ton of it ends up sitting on the shelf and I don't read it for months anyway. But, you know, my question to you is like the being the sort of vendor, the seller at the comic convention, what is your take on how things have changed?
It's just I think it might be a bit different. I don't know if it's different because, you know, I do conventions in the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know what it's like in the US. But they've grown so much. There's so many more of them. And I kind of missed when I first started doing the Omen, there was really one main comic convention every year, and that was in May. Mm-hmm. in Bristol. And yeah, there were other ones as well, but that was the main one where everyone went. And oh, it was fantastic, you know. So I went there, I was going there kind of 4 or 5 years or six, and that was when it was at its peak. It was brilliant, everyone was friendly, it was just a brilliant experience. And then they kind of changed it, went to a different venue, and it wasn't quite as good. And then you kind of have some new conventions, like ones that involve gaming and films as well.
Yeah.
Where comics are just a small part of it. And the first couple of ones I did of those, I hated it because you had all these cosplayers giggling and just kind of making fun of you.
Making fun of you?
Yeah, like just pointing at the comic and just sneering because they're just, you know, young teenagers and stuff. And,
sure.
And I hated it. And then one of my friends said to me, it's improved. You should try it again. And I did. And it was fantastic. And I think kind of almost like cosplay turned a corner as well, because it went from being this kind of cliquey thing to something where people are proud of what they're doing. They want to be seen. They want to celebrate comics. And that the convention kind of changed. It was a much more positive atmosphere.
Yeah.
But I was doing a lot. And I don't know, I think I kind of thought to myself, I really missed the old days where I would just do one convention a year. So last year I just did one convention.
Yeah.
And it was one of the it's kind of the new big one. There's one that's in Leeds. It's called Thought Bubble. You might have heard of
that
it.
That sounds sort of familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty big. And but then I think that might have kind of outgrown itself a little bit as well, because I went to one of the first ones kind of 10 years ago, and it was one hall, one day, a nice short show, and these days it's 2 days, it's spread across 3 halls. You have to apply to get in.
Yeah.
And you're not guaranteed to get in. And I felt like the comic buyers, the punters were kind of spread a bit too thin, maybe.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was as well, I think with conventions, you really have to, as a seller, it helps to go to as many as you can, because we were on our table saying, this is the first gay superhero comic. And the customer would say, no, you're not. It's that guy over there.
And it's the
rival one who does go to every convention. And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because I did a convention once when my daughter was born, and I had just come up with an idea for a comic, and I hadn't even created the comic yet. I printed up a bunch of shirts, and for me it was kind of a disaster. Like, nobody was interested in the shirts. Nobody was interested in, like, you know, what I was doing, and it was like a bad experience. And I think I was just at the wrong con. It was more like of an indie con, like, you know, indie comics and sort of like hipster comics, like that sort of thing. And my idea was superhero related, and it was at that point, like with me, where I was like, I had just had a baby. We had just had a baby. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't stay up like till 2 a.m., keep a job, be a good father, and create comics. Like what people don't realize is, like, you know, comics are really hard. It's hard if you're doing it all on your own, you know, like, and it's even hard if you're not, if you're just the penciler, or just the inker, or just the colorist, you know. But if you're doing everything on your own all at once and you don't have capital, like, it's really hard to do this, to do it. And, but the thing about conventions is, you know, to put something else on top of it lately, what I've noticed is, like, if you're trying to get into a convention, like, these conventions keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but it's still harder and harder to get into them. Like, I was going to try and get a table at WonderCon this year, and I'm on a wait list, you know what I mean? And so, like, these cons...
Which one's that?
WonderCon's, like, in... WonderCon is in California, and it's sort of, like, becoming sort of, like... It's the same people that do Comic-Con, but it's smaller. Mm. And it tends to be in Anaheim. It used to be in San Francisco. It was in LA last year, which was great because I could just take the train and go down. But my point is like, WonderCon was sort of like the smaller con in comparison to Comic-Con. And now WonderCon's getting bigger, but it's still just as hard to get in. So you're sort of kind of, you know, creators are kind of like scrambling to get into, like, smaller conventions, and even those are getting harder to get into because there's so much talent out there and so much competition. It's just, it's become, like, really weird.
Yeah. We had, so this one, this Thought Bubble convention that I mentioned, I mean, oh my gosh, yeah. So I mean, I've been doing conventions for 20 years or so now, 20 yeah. years. And in the old days, you would know there was a convention coming up in November, and you wouldn't have a table. You'd think, should I get a table? And then you'd get a table. You probably would get your table maybe a month before the convention. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah,
it's so competitive.
Yeah,
there was this thought bubble. I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, and before that, it was easy to get a table there. But there was one time 4 or 5 years ago where I said to a few of my friends, I think Thought Bubble tables go on sale on Monday, so just to tip you off.
Yeah, yeah.
And those tables sold out in 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you have to plan like a year and a half, and like yeah. sometimes it's like, how do you do that?
That was when, because they sold out in 2 hours, which is incredible. Yeah. I think it was 2 hours. And then that was after that year, that's when they started to do an application process.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't fair, really, to kind of, you know, first come, first served isn't that fair when, you know, if someone's busy or that, you know, just because they're busy that day, it's a shame they miss out. But yeah, I didn't apply for Thought Bubble this year. I feel like I've done it for so long, Christian, yeah. and I feel like I've. I'm not going to say I'm ready to retire, but I just think I've had so much fun. But it's hard work, as you say.
It's a grind.
To the planning and then getting all your stock ready, and I don't know how I did it, to be honest. And yeah. I'm glad to be out of it now. I mean, I want to focus more on web comics and different ways of doing comics and just enjoying them, because I spent so long racing to get things done for a show, or I just want to enjoy it now and have fun and just draw at my own pace let everyone else get on with it. And I think this, again, I think it's also the rejection of, you know, so many people get rejected from these shows, and it's really, really sad, you know. And the Thought Bubble, people apply, and then random people, they can't get in, and I think, oh no.
Yeah.
And I think, oh no, what if it's me?
Yeah. Well, it's also really interesting. It's like how the whole economics of everything has turned. You know, it's like you're saying now you want to focus more on web comics and stuff like that, and you start hearing these stories of like people who work for, you know, Marvel, DC, Boom, Image, or whatever, and they're scraping by, you know what I mean? And it's sad because it's almost like the creation of comics has to be secondary for a lot of creators out there. Like, you have to focus on your job and your family first. And while these, you know, there are people that are making a good living or being, you know, being in comics, you do start to hear stories about people who are like, you know, like, I can't manage this. Like, I love comics. I love creating comics, but it's just not paying the rent, you know?
Gosh, yeah. I mean, if I didn't have a full-time job, and if I survived on my self-publishing earnings, yeah. I think I'd be earning about £10 a month.
Holy cow.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, because also Titan were published, they were putting Omen on Comixology for me, because I thought it was easier for me, really.
Yeah.
It saved my time. I didn't have a clue how to get the files together, and you don't earn a lot from that, because Comixology take I think it's half, and Titan take a quarter. So you sell a lot of comics, but you only get a small amount of money. It's not, you know, you can't live on it. Yeah. But I don't know if it's hard to earn a living from comics if you set your sights on it, because, you know, as you know, I work for Titan Comics.
Yeah.
And, you know, we pay the freelancers pretty good rate, you know, not as good as Marvel and DC, but you can see how people can earn a living from it if they get, you know, I think they have to write more than one comic a month, or draw one more than one comic a month.
Yeah, which is hard. I mean,
yeah, definitely. But then look at people like, have you heard of, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Charles Soule. He's writing a few comics now. I think he's doing Daredevil. He's a lawyer. Yeah, so I guess he does that full time, and then he does these comics maybe in his spare time, or maybe he's a freelance lawyer or something. But he seems to be doing incredibly well, and it feels like his comic career is maybe becoming more exciting than his day job.
Yeah.
So but everyone's different. I mean, you know, there's some indie creators who seem to have loads of supporters, you know, people I don't know, and they get a good Patreon thing, and they get thousands of likes on Instagram, and it's everyone's different, aren't they, really?
Yeah. There are definitely people that are managing it, but it's definitely not easy. I guess, you know, it's not easy for anyone, but I just seem to be hearing a lot more stories about people, like, moving away from print, or saying, like, I can't do my own book unless I'm doing something for someone else. You know what I mean? And there's definitely a thing of that, which, I mean, I guess it's always been that way if you're going to make your own indie book. But, you know, I definitely, you just start reading stories of people who do work, you know, for some of the big publishers, and they're just not, you know, they're kind of having a hard time pulling it together, you know? Or, you know, and God forbid, like, they get hit with medical bills or something like that, you know. I mean, obviously it's different where you're from, but here in the U.S., like, God forbid a freelancer or somebody in their family get hit with cancer or something. It's like, you're screwed, you know.
Yeah, I work with a lot of people, and that's what it's one of the nicest things about my job, because I'm a comics editor. And I love giving people work. It's a fantastic feeling.
Yeah.
And then I get a lot of emails from people I've worked with in the past, and they say, have you got anything? And I haven't. But no one ever says to me, I need it. You know, if they said to me, Martin, I really need work, no one ever says that to me.
Yeah.
And if they did say that, I would really, really try and get some work for them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get other people who do have plenty of work, but they don't tell you what they're doing. So you think they're doing your stuff, and they're not doing it at all.
Uh-oh, that's
they're prioritizing other stuff.
That's which,
well, it's business, isn't it? You know, it's up to them. I don't have any control over what they do.
So you finished book 5. And how did it, well, so what was the official date that you, like, finished the last page? Do you remember that?
I remember when I drew the last panel. It was I think it was in September last year. Oh. And it's one of the panels in the final issue. It's where the Vicious Circle are fighting one of the later incarnations of the team, and I drew it. It's one of the panels that I left till last, because I always leave the complicated panels till last.
Yeah.
Or the panels where I need to think about who's going to be in them or what's happening at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember it was a Saturday night, and I just felt this amazing sense of relief, like a huge weight had been lifted. It was almost like adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
Like the realization, I've done it. I finished it.
Nice.
But I hadn't finished, because, you know, there was still another month and a half of checking and still messing around with certain elements and changing things. I'm a perfectionist. I sent it to the printers, and I was really unhappy with something in the end, so I stopped the printing, and I read you a couple of the panels, because I don't want to give too much away, but like at the end of the series, you kind of see how the world progresses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there was going to be a lot more to it. There was going to be a lot more negative stuff. There was going to be some news reports of like, oh, chaos and destruction.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, I don't want to do that. I'm saving that for the next project. There's no need to do that now. But it was too positive. It became too positive, and there was no element of danger.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, so there are these new superhumans emerging. So where are the villains? There's no villains. And so I added in a couple of panels of threat. And I'm glad I did. You know, I lost sleep over it, and I really upset my printer. I think they're probably really pissed off at me.
But, oh no!
But I just said, look, I'm sorry. Can you just wait another day? And yeah. And it was really on the wire because I'd invested so much in getting it all ready for the Thought Bubble convention and selling it there, it was all really down to the wire. It was the one day, I think, of the year when WeTransfer wasn't working properly.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get the file to the printer.
Oh, no.
But I got there in the end.
But so you finished the book and the book is done. How did you feel? Like now that Omen is done, like it's finished. Like it's this. I mean, these characters must be like family to you, like a part of your soul, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't think it's over. I think you'll see them again. I do. The story isn't finished.
Yeah.
I think there's still definitely more to say. I don't want to forget them because I think it's easy to forget characters. It's you know, I'm doing Omen now, and I feel a little bit more distant to the spandex characters because, you know, that was a couple of years ago now, and I don't want to forget them either. So it's almost, I think I have to refresh it. I have to reread it. I have to, because they will all appear again. But I feel like I did everything that I wanted to do with them. Really. I think I haven't missed anything out. So it's sad to finish, but I do feel kind of content, and I don't think I could have done much more with some of the characters. So, yeah.
So there was no feeling of like, I don't know, for me, for something like that, you know, I feel like, you know, when my child turns 18, there's going to be, you know, and leaves the house or whatever. I feel like this is something that you've been invested in for a long time, so there's no feeling of sort of like wistfulness or loss, or are you just thinking like, oh, I could always just go back to it if I want to?
Well, I mean, I've already started my next project, Zeros, and I really wanted it to be separate to the other comics, but already some of the elements have crept in from spandex and from the Omen. So I think it is still present. It's all one universe.
Yeah.
So they're not going away anywhere. I don't know if I feel sad. I think, you know, some of the characters, they did die, especially the more villainous ones. But I felt like, well, they did everything. You know, they did everything they wanted to do, and it's okay. They did it all. That's it.
Yeah,
they've gone on it. Yeah, it's sad in a way, but also it's kind of it's done now. So yeah.
Well, I would imagine in some of those meetings you can just draw them whenever you want, or you know, they'll pop up like in your head. Like you won't miss them for too long because you can just create them whenever you want on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd do that because if I did that, I might get some more ideas for them and I might want them to come back.
Well, you can do a special or a giveaway every once in a while.
Yeah, maybe. I tend to kind of draw when I'm in the meetings, it's more about the future. It's more about okay, what ideas can I come up with for future stories? Mm-hmm. So I tend not to draw the older ones. And, you know, you've got people like Anathema. I've drawn her so many times, you know.
She's great.
She's so evil.
Yeah.
But I think she's not 100% evil. I think there's part of it that is, she's unfortunate in a way. But I kind of explore that. I explore Dr. O and Anathema. You know, they're not 100% horrible. there's almost a reason why they are what they are.
Yeah.
And people like Anathema, I've drawn her so many times. I'm happy I can just stop drawing it now.
So can you talk a little bit about your next project, Zeros? I mean, you have a preview at the back of a preview page. It's going to be, I know you've said it's an all ages comic. You're going to make it a web comic?
Yeah. Zeros is, it's in the same universe as Spandex and Omen. And it's another epic. It starts off following. It's about a class of super school kids, and it does follow on. The world changes at the end of the Omen. I'm not going to say how for people that haven't read it, but the world becomes different, and it just follows these kids. But also, I think it's a different way of. It's going to be a different way of telling a story, because it's not going to be an intense, you know, every issue builds to a climax. It's going to be more fun. It's more about the characters. It's going to be, I will take one character and I will do a 3 or 4 page story about them and their power. And it might not be related to anything. It's just fun. You know, I think as a web, if it's going to be a web comic, then I want people to just be able to just log on and just check out what's happening right now and not have to worry about continuity. So I think Omen kind of got a bit continuity heavy, really, in some places. Mm. But I do want it to be fun. But I'm experimenting as well, because it's an all ages comic, which is something I haven't done before.
Yeah,
I have to behave myself. But there will be serious issues that, you know, there will be, there's still, I mean, this is going to sound a bit odd, but there will be stories about sexuality. And okay, so, you know, it starts off about the kids, but it will evolve. It's going to be kind of 5 volumes, and each volume will be a different stage of their lives. You'll be following these characters through a lot of their lives. And I'm still creating it. You know, it's a fun process, because, you know, I've got quite a lot already planned, but there's a lot more that needs to be done. And that's an exciting process for me. And that's something that I can draw in my meetings. Well, I'm drawing it differently as well. I'm drawing it on my iPad, so
It's
a very different way. Yeah, because
solely digital.
Yeah, because I mean, early Omen was all on paper. I do not know how I did it. Mm-hmm. You know, just no Photoshop, all ink and Tippex, you know, liquid paper. Yeah. What is that? What it's called?
Whiteout.
So, and you go on to drawing on. You draw on paper, scan it in, and then Photoshop it, and there's limits. You know, there's limits there, really. And now that I'm drawing with my iPad, it's a much more easy way to draw.
Yeah. It's much more easy, you say, because...
Gosh, yeah.
See, it's funny.
Because you can make...
Go ahead.
You can make so many changes. Easily change it. You don't have to, you know, you think, oh, I need to change this. So you know, you draw it on a bit of paper, you scan it in, and then you cut it out, and then you Photoshop it onto someone's head. You know, now you can just draw directly onto the paper, draw directly onto the screen. And so it's much more easy to kind of manipulate it. And yeah. I'm still changing characters. Like I'm drawing it, but I'm thinking, oh, I don't like his hair, so I just redraw his hair on every page, which is fine.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what people think of it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. When do you have any sort of tentative launch date or?
Maybe before summer, partly because I don't want anyone else to steal my idea.
Sure. Gotcha.
I kind of want to get it out there before someone else does it.
Gotcha.
Every time I look in previews, I think, oh God, someone else is going to do this before me. Yeah. And also I need to, sort out my web page, because I thought I could just do a WordPress site, but it's not as easy as that.
Yeah. Well, did you look into Comic Easel, like what I sent you, or?
I need to do that. Yeah. Is that's not one of those community ones, is it?
No. It's well, there used to be, what was it, Comic Press or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think Comic Easel is the more current or advanced version. Never used it, but I know other people who have, and you know, it seems like easy to install. From what I understand, it's just like a plugin or a theme that you drop into your WordPress, and you should be sort of good to go to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think I tried it, and I thought it would be as easy as just adding it to my WordPress, but I think you need a separate domain or something. I need to do a lot of research.
gotcha. Well, if there's anybody out there who can help Martin Eden with his web page, contact him. How do people contact you, Martin?
Oh, Facebook. I've got my own page there, normal page, and I've got the Omen page as well. I've got Twitter. I'm on Twitter, Martin Eden. Either of those is fine.
Cool. Well, where can people buy these Omen books?
So, I've got a website, which is theomen.wordpress.com. So people can buy the physical book directly from me. There's all of my stuff is on Comixology and on Amazon Kindle. So people can buy it from there. It's really cheap. It's all out there. I'm really pleased about that.
That's great. And it's the Omen and Spandex and soon the upcoming Zeros. Thank you for sending me these books, Martin, because you've been very generous. And I think maybe I might have bought the first two or something. And then after that, you just kept sending them to me. So I really do appreciate them, because I've really enjoyed the story from beginning to end. I mean, obviously, there's been time gaps in between each book. And I've kind of had to go back and be like, what happened here? Like, what's going on? But, you know, on the whole, I think that you're a really, really good writer, and I think that you're a really, really good storyteller, and I've enjoyed The Omen immensely. So I can just imagine somebody who's been, you know, begging for the books, you know, and wanting them for like years and years and years, you know, waiting and waiting. But I got them all in a chunk of a couple of years, so I'm very thankful for that.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that, Christian.
Yeah. And for anyone who knows, I don't know if you still do it, but some of the stuff that you sent me, like back in the day when you were just doing like individual issues, you would have buttons and little mini do you still send that stuff out? Because that's genius marketing on your part.
Oh, yeah. I do a little drawing on a post-it note. I do, I put a little badge in.
Yeah.
Or a couple of other badges, because why not, you know?
Yeah.
I've got loads of badges. I've got, you know, why not rather than just send the book with nothing.
Yeah. No, it's great. You do a really, it's really fun to get like some of the like little mini comics or the buttons and stuff like that. It's great. Well, everyone out there should read The Omen. Check out Martin Eden's stuff. Spandex is a great book too. And I can't wait to check out The Zeros. I'm really happy for you. I'm glad you finished it up, and I'm glad you're, you know, content with your work.
Oh, thank you, Christian.
Yeah.
And you keep up your good work too.
I'm trying. But yeah, this has been Part-Time Fanboy. My name is Christian Horn. I've been on the line with Martin Eden, who is honestly one of my favorite indie creators out there. I love his stuff, and you should check it out too. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and, you know, leave us a review on iTunes if you can. And thanks for listening. We will be back soon with another episode. Bye.
Part-Time Fanboy.